Get your Bibles out this morning. Let's get ready to get into the Word today. I want to thank the praise team. You got it, girl? Thank the praise team. My prayer's with David as he is on that Emmaus walk. If you've been on that walk, you know what he's experiencing. If you've never been on that walk, it's just an incredible time. And there's people in the church that are instrumentally involved in the Emmaus, and if you'd like the opportunity to go, you can see one of those who have been. It was just an amazing weekend, a time of incredible experiencing the love of God in our life. And this morning, I want to continue on with what we talked about last Sunday morning. I'll get right into the Word this morning and get into some things and kind of get into some review of what we talked about last week. If you need a handout, raise your hand. The usher will get one to you. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Got enough? Everybody got one? Proverbs 20, verse 27. It says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. What is the lamp of the Lord? The spirit of man. Now, it says man there, but it's talking about humankind. It's talking about the human spirit. Not just talking about physical man, but it's talking about women, man. The spirit, our human spirit, is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, may God himself, Paul said, the God of peace sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May your whole spirit, soul, and body. He identifies in that scripture, Paul does, our three-part being. We talked about this. We're not just what we see. In fact, number one on your handout, this is all review, so I didn't leave any blanks. There's more to you than meets the eye. There's more to you than what we see. There's more to each one of us than our outer shell. The spirit of man, the human spirit is the lamp of the Lord, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. There's three parts to our being. And most of us know this. We've talked about this. Our physical man, our body, what we see, what's wearing this coat. Our soul, which is our mind, our intellect. Some say our mind, our will, our emotions, and our spirit, what we don't see, our human spirit. And Paul again said that your whole spirit, soul, your mind, intellect, emotions, and your body, your physical outer man. Look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul said, for who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in them? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? The second point we looked at last Sunday morning, there's more to you than your outer person. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, Paul said, but though our outward man, our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Our outward man, that part that we see, that part that we got ready this morning, that outer man. One translation says our outer self or our inner self. Our outer self, who we really are. Look at this in Acts chapter 7, verse 59. And as they were stoning Stephen is being stoned to death. And the Bible says that as they were stoning him, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive what? My spirit. The same thing that Jesus said on the cross. He said, Father, into your hands, I commit my what? Spirit. So evidently, the Bible teaches us that there's more to us than what we see naturally. There's more to each one of us than what we're looking at right now. There's our outward, our body, there's our soul, our mind, our thoughts, and then there's our spirit, that inward man. And Stephen again said, Father, receive that inward man, that spirit. Now, it's interesting that everyone we're going to read about this morning, including Jesus, and what we'll look at, they make reference to that inner man as being them. They identify more with their inner man being their self, being the real them, versus what we spend so much time on our outer being. Paul said to be absent of the what? Body. How can to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. How can, if the real you is what we see, if the real us is our natural man, our physical body, how can we be absent? How can we be absent of the real us? This body is just what we dwell in. Who we really are is that inner self, our spirit. I was reading over some of Brother Hagin's notes, and I looked up some things online. And he was talking about Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, about the spirit of man being the candle of the Lord. And he was in what he was teaching and talking about, I can remember him teaching this at school, but what he was teaching and talking about and what I was reading was he said that this is one of the most important things that we need to learn concerning ourselves, is that we are a spirit that lives in a body that has a soul. Our mind, our will, our emotions. Now, God's concerned about our entire three-part being. That's what it says, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. But I'm going to tell you what this morning, you know what we, the world, and what a lot of times we spend the majority of our time focusing on, if we're honest, is what? Is our outward man. Is our outward man. We'll eat three times a day, four times a day. We'll go to the Y. We'll do all these different type of things, all those things to take care of our outward man. But our outward man's just a suit. It's just a shell we wear. Because again, Paul said, I can be absent of this body. And if I'm absent of this body, I'm what? Present with the Lord, Paul said. Peter talked about this outer shell being a tent. A tent. We'll see that here in just a moment. The third part that we talked about last Sunday morning, our inner person, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, it says that the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Our inner person, that inward man that we're talking about, is from God. That inward person that we're talking about, Peter's talking about, Paul's talking about, Jesus is talking about, Stephen was talking about. He said, receive my spirit. That inward person, the Bible says, is from God. And it returns to God. Now, it's interesting that in Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, it says that he formed Adam and Eve, and he formed now the dust. But then what did it say, what's it say that he did? It says he breathed in to Adam. He breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living being. So something that was in God, went out of God into that dust. And that dust became a living being. Our spirit, our human spirit, it's the lamp of the Lord. Our human spirit, the spirit on the inside of us, it's how we communicate. It's how we fellowship. It's how we contact. It's how we have a relationship with God. Our inner man is what's created. Let me say it this way. It's the part of us that comes from God. It says the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now, the next point, look at this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. I want to read this again this morning. Peter here said, therefore I intend to always remind you of these qualities. That word intend is the word intent. It means Peter had an aim, a purpose, an objective, a goal. He said, I intend to always remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Verse 13, Peter said, I think it's right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I'll make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to at any time to call or recall these things. Now, Peter uses that word I and my several times in that passage of scriptures. He said, I intend, I think, I am in this body. I know in verse 14, verse 15, I will make every effort after my departure. Now, if we stop for a moment and just think about this, Peter's not talking, when he's talking about I, when he's identifying who I is, when he's saying I, he's not talking about this outward man. Because he said, I am going to what? Depart, putting off, I know, verse 14, I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure. He's saying, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to depart. I'm going to lay this body down. I. So what part of his three-part being is he identifying with the I? His spirit. He said, I am going to lay this body down. I am going to depart this thing that you see. And I intend, talking about his spirit, I intend that after my departure, you will continually be reminded about the things that I've taught you. His intent. We are designed and created to live by intent, with a goal, with an aim, with a purpose, out of our inner being, not just out of our soul, not just out of our mind, not just based upon what feels good, not just based upon what our outer body wants to do, not just based upon even what our soul wants to do. God designed us and created us with the Spirit, and he has designed and created us that's who we really are, that's how we should live. We should live out of that inner being more than our outward. We should be more conscious of what is going on inwardly, or we should be living more out of our inward being than what's going on outwardly. You've heard me use this analogy before. That God didn't create us to be thermometers, but he created us to be what? Thermostats. A thermometer is something that just goes up and down with the outward circumstances. It goes up and down with what's going on in its outward around it. If the temperature goes up, the thermometer goes up. If the temperature goes down, the thermometer goes down. But a thermostat is different. A thermostat has a thermometer. It has something that tells it what's going on outside. But then it has something on the inside of that doesn't allow what's going on the outside to determine what's going to happen. It's what inwardly takes place that determines it. The thermostat creates its environment. The environment goes up and down, but the thermostat, so we can hear the heater right now. There's a thermostat back there saying that it's either cold or hot or whatever in our car. It can be cold. And 2 seconds later, it can be hot. Right, honey? Yeah. Yesterday we went shopping, and we could have the heat on one moment, and the next moment we could have the air conditioning on. But the thermostat of the car, it determines. And we're called by God to be thermostats, not thermometers. How are we going to do that? Not by living according to our outward man, but by living according to our inward man. By living intent, like Paul said, I intend. We're designed to live life with intent through our inner self, our inner being. The last point there on the front, on the first page on the front of your handout, we need to learn to direct. Here's the key. We need to learn to direct our soul. Now, we spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. We need to learn to direct. What part is our soul? Our mind, our thoughts, our intellect. We need to learn to direct that, our thinking. The Bible says, set your mind on things what?
Above.
So we have the ability to set our mind, our thinking. Let's put it this way. If you don't set your mind on the right thing, then things will set your mind for you. Come on, right? I mean, Jesus said that the eye is the gate to us. In what we see and what we hear. We have to be careful what we see. We have to be careful what we hear. Come on, can you say amen? You can't just watch everything you want that's out there. You can't just hear everything that's out there. You have to guard that. But we need to learn how to direct our set, our soul, which is a part of our being, our intellect. We need to learn how to set that inwardly. Now you say, why do you say inwardly? Because the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if you're a child of God, if you believe in Jesus, the Bible says if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells where? Dwells in you. The Bible, Jesus said this. Jesus said, don't go over here to see if you can see the kingdom. Don't go over here. They won't say, go over here and see the kingdom. They won't go say, go over here and see the kingdom. Why? Because he said the kingdom is where? It's in you. It's within you. There's a great mystery, the Bible says. This great mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on, it's given an identity where that is, the kingdom, it's in us. The Bible, Jesus said this, out of your innermost being, talking about the Holy Spirit, out of your innermost being. You know, on the last day of the feast, it says he rose up and he cried with a loud voice, anyone who thirsts, let him come unto me. Anyone who thirsts, let him come unto me. And he said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of what? Living water. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And it says he was talking about the Holy Spirit. Where will those rivers flow from? Our innermost being. In our spirit. That inward man. That inward man that each one of us have. We need to learn how to direct our thinking our soul inwardly to hear. And we talked about four things. Remember last Sunday morning we talked about, mentioned four things. Do you remember what they were? They're on your next page there. Through the word, prayer, through worship, and through silence. This is where I want to pick up this morning. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. You can read it back in chapter 2, verse 20. You can read Psalms 46, verse 10. It talks about being still and knowing that I'm God. It talks about let all the earth keep silence before him. Talking about the power of silence in our life, quiet time. But I want you to see something in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. Elijah here is basically, in a sense, is hiding. And God begins to speak to him. In verse 11 it says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. At that moment, the Lord passed by. Okay, so Elijah said, go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. What was he supposed to stand? In the Lord's presence. At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountain and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, heard what? The voice, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And began to speak with him. Now remember, what did it say? Go stand in the Lord's what? Presence. And when he stood in the Lord's presence, it said that the Lord's presence passed by. And all of a sudden, before the Lord's presence, the mountain began to just break up. But it says the Lord wasn't in the mountain. I mean, the earthquake, the wind. It says the Lord, then the earthquake, the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. Then a fire, and it says the Lord wasn't in the fire. But then all of a sudden, a voice, a soft whisper, a voice. Elijah heard a voice. And when Elijah heard the voice, it says he covered himself and he went out. And when he went out into the presence of God, a voice came to him speaking. Now I want you to understand something this morning. We've been created and designed by God to hear his voice. Amen. To hear his voice. The other day we were somewhere, just a little over a week ago, we were somewhere and someone was up talking about what God was doing in their life and was sharing what God had been doing in their life. And they were talking about where they'd come from. And they talked about how the things in the past had been so difficult. And they said, just to make a long story short, they said they'd recently, in the last 3 or 4 months, been in a hospital. And this is what they said. They'd make a long story short. She said, I was hearing voices. I was hearing voices. Now, we you know, and you hear a story like that, you're like, ooh, that's, you're not supposed to be hearing voices. She was saying in a way but here's the truth. We have been created and designed by God to hear his voice. To hear his voice. In fact, Jesus said this. He said, "My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice and I know them." I want to show you something this morning concerning God speaking to each one of us. See, a lot of times I'm not going to say that God, I believe that the wind, that was God. But it said God wasn't in it. Because remember, it says that God's presence passed by and that the mountain broke up into pieces before God's presence. I'm not saying that God wasn't doing those other things. I'm just saying that there's so many times we look for that spectacular, so many times we look for that incredible, amazing, astounding type thing, when what we need to develop with the relationship with God is being able to hear and know his voice. To hear and know his voice. It's interesting that children learn to identify voices. Natural voices, come on. Yeah. We're witnessing this with our grandson. Elijah sent us the video the other day, and Landon was just sitting there looking out the window, and he was just sitting looking out this big, it's like a big sliding glass window out in the backyard, and there was a curtain that hangs down. He was just playing with the curtain, flipping it around. And his back was to Elijah. And Elijah was videoing, and Elijah said, "Landon." And he was busy flipping the curtain around. And he said, "Landon," again. And the second time he said, "Landon," Landon turned around and said, "Huh?" It's the cutest little thing. And then he turned and he started crawling towards Elijah. And Elijah says, "I'm like, Landy, what are you doing?" And he said, "Huh?" I'm going to tell you right now, he recognizes his father's voice and he recognizes his mom's voice. Even more. He recognizes her presence. She walks by and he like dives out of my hands for his mom. We are created and designed by God for him to communicate and fellowship with us. And the way he communicates and fellowships with us is by coming to us and speaking to us in a voice. We're going to see this. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. In verse 8. This is after Adam and Eve have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And notice what it says in verse 8. It says, they heard the voice of the Lord God. Now, some translations says they heard the sound of God. So I went and I studied out that Hebrew word there. In the majority of the time, its translation has to be voice, because it's attached to somebody speaking. And so in verse 8, it says that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from what? The presence of the Lord. His presence, his person. Among the trees of the garden, the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? The man said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Number one, notice what it says. It says, they heard his voice and hid from his presence. They heard his voice and they hid from his presence. Now that's what's so incredible about what we just read over there in Kings. That's what's so incredible about that is that Elijah, the mountain crumbling, the wind, the earthquake, the fire, all those things can be God. Not they can't be God, they can be a byproduct of God. Meaning that God, the wind, that when God can crush a mountain, that God can cause an earthquake, the fire. That could be the cause, but when you hear a voice, when you hear his voice, that's always attached to his person. Think about it for a moment. It said Elijah covered his face and went out and stood in the presence of the Lord. And the voice spoke to him. Adam and Eve, it says, we heard your voice and we hid from your what? Presence. Your voice is always attached to you. It's always attached to your presence. That bullet point there is God desires a personal relationship. God desires a personal relationship with each one of us. We're designed and created to hear his voice. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 3. Acts 9, 3. This is the story of Saul on the road. He was on a mission to wreak havoc on the church. Saul later became Paul. But he was on the road to Damascus, and on that road he encountered a light from heaven, the Bible says. A light from heaven suddenly shone down upon around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked, and the voice replied, I'm Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now, I just thought of this. There's a TV show, Tammy likes to watch it, called The Voice. Right? Is that what it's called? Yeah. She turns it on. I'm like, oh, really? We got to listen to the singing. But notice what it said. When Saul had an encounter with the presence of the Lord, when Saul had an encounter with the presence of the Lord, the Bible says a light shone from heaven. When Saul had that encounter with the presence of the Lord, notice what happened in that presence. A voice spoke to him. And notice what Saul did. Saul responded. Come on, right? He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And what happened? Come on, read it to me. It says, the voice replied. Now, I don't believe that there's things in the Bible just have things in the Bible. I believe that the things that are in the Bible are there specifically by the unction of the Holy Spirit, by God's hand. And so when it makes reference to a voice talking to Saul, and Saul communing or fellowshipping or talking back to the voice, and then the voice responding back, I believe it's teaching us something. I believe it's showing us something. We are designed and created to hear His voice. And His voice is attached to His presence. In fact, His presence is what brings His voice. Adam didn't say, "We hid ourselves from your voice." He said, "We hid ourselves from your presence because we heard your voice in the garden." Elijah stood. He covered his face and he went out and stood in the presence of the Lord. And in his presence, the Lord began to speak to Elijah. Saul on the road to Damascus. Bright light. And in the presence of the Lord, a voice spoke to Saul. And Saul, not knowing who he was, Saul not knowing the Lord, said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting." We've been designed and created to hear his voice, to have a relationship with him, to even respond to it. But let me say something to you. We're not to be listening to an outward. It's not that we're waiting for this outward. Now, I believe that Saul's situation, I believe it was something that he literally, physically heard with his ear. And say, "Well, how do you figure that?" Because I don't believe Saul was born again yet when he was trying to kill the church. Okay? So I think something still had to happen in Saul's life for him to hear that inwardly. And the Bible goes on to say there that others heard the voice, but they saw no one talking to Saul. So number two. When Saul encountered the Lord, he heard a voice saying to him. His presence and his voice, they're attached. You know, David said, "This one thing I desire. This one thing I desire, Lord, is that your presence never leaves me and that I will dwell in your house forever." Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Here Peter basically is waiting on the meal to be prepared. And as he's waiting on the meal to be prepared, the Bible says that he went up onto the top of the house, the rooftop, which is something that would have been normal back then, the way houses were designed and built. And it says he begins to pray. So Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. It says he saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles and birds. Notice, then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Verse 14, Peter said, "No, Lord, I've never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." Now this happens again. It says that the voice says it to him again. Now, I want you to understand what's happening here is that a revelation, a incredible revelation. What I mean by revelation, meaning that God's getting ready to reveal something to his church. Revelation means to uncover something. God's uncovering something to Peter. Peter, a leader of the church, he's uncovering something. And the way he's uncovering is there's a vision. He sees this sheet coming down with all these animals on it. in unclean animals that they're not supposed to eat, according to Jewish law. They're not supposed to eat. And the voice comes to him and says, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter replies, he answers the voice. He says, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. And again, the voice comes to him and says, arise, kill, and eat. And Peter again replies to the voice. He says, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything that's unclean. I've never eaten anything that is impure. And then the voice says to Peter, okay, don't call what I've cleansed unclean or common. Now, the revelation is not about chicken. Okay? The revelation is not about pork. The revelation is not about food. Saul, anybody outside of the Jewish faith as unclean. And so God to reveal to his church that he's getting ready to do something beyond just the Jewish people, that the Spirit living on the inside of us and God forgiving us of our sins and God coming into a relationship with each one of us was going to go beyond the Jewish people. He had to reveal that to Peter. And the way he revealed that to Peter was caught up in a trance. And in the midst of that trance, the voice of God spoke to Peter. And Peter spoke back. We have been designed and created to hear his voice and to fellowship with him. Number three, Peter received revelation when he heard a voice say. Number four, in Acts chapter 12, verse 13. I talked a little bit about this a moment ago about land and recognizing his father and his mother's voice. And Mary said that she also recognizes Tammy's voice. And he has to relearn mine every time I see him. He looks at me like. Acts chapter 12, verse 13. I want you to see something here. And this is just a basic truth, but it's in the Word, so I wanted to show it to you. Peter was in prison, and he's set free and supernaturally. And he goes to this house where everybody's at praying for him. And he stands outside the outer portion of the house at the gate, and he knocks on the door. And they're all in there praying, and a servant named Rhoda, Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. Now notice, I don't believe things are just added to be added. I think they're there for a reason. And it says in verse 14, when she recognized Peter's what? Voice. She was overjoyed. She ran back without opening and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. Now notice, it doesn't say she saw Peter, right? It says she heard Peter. Come on, right? And it says that she recognized what? Peter's voice. She recognized who it was because of his voice. And it says that she didn't even let him in. In fact, she has to go back to let him in. And she runs back and she says, hey, she's so excited. She says, hey, guess what? She's not seen him, but she's heard him. She said, Peter is at the door. Notice again what Adam and Eve, it says, we heard your voice and we hid from your presence. I want to encourage you this morning. I'm going to encourage you because this is what I'm saying. I've been saying it all morning long. Each and every one of us have been designed and created to hear His voice. We have the ability to hear the Spirit. The Bible says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That's how we communicate. That's how we speak back and forth. That's how we talk to Him. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit communicating to our spirit. Each one of us has been created by God in His image and His likeness, spirit, soul, and body. But what we have to do is we have to turn our soul, we have to set our mind more on the things above than on the things of this earth. And the way we set our mind on the things above is by turning our soul, our mind, our thoughts inwardly to connect with our spirit. Now here's the thing. You say, Pastor, how does that work? I don't know how everything works that God created. We're discovering things. Come on, right? I don't know how everything works, what God created. There's some things that are still a mystery. But I know this, that when I look outside, the trees are doing their thing, the grass are doing their thing, the sky is doing its thing, the sun's doing its thing, the moon's doing its thing. Gravity and all those things, the earth spinning at the exact speed it needs to spin so that we're not floating around in this room this morning. Come on, right? It's all by design. And it works. And by design, God has created you spirit, soul, and body. And all those things that I mentioned, as amazing as they are, the trees, the stars, the moon, the sun, they don't compare to the creation of God that I'm looking at this morning. The Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made and designed. That we're created by Him and in His image, in His likeness. We are. It's interesting that we've taken things. The Bible says that we've taken created things and images like that, and we've made them gods. Some people worship the trees. Some people worship the stars. Some people worship all those things that God created, the moon and the sun. But the Bible, there's nowhere does the Bible say that any of those things that I just mentioned were created in His image. But the Bible says that we are created in His image. That we are created in His likeness. So I may not understand how it all works, but I know this, it works. That if we will turn our soul, that part of our being, our mind, inwardly and not so outwardly. Let me give you some insight here real quick. Paul said this, and we'll wrap up. Paul said this in Corinthians. He said there's many languages in the world. One translation says it this way. There's many voices in the world. And we know that there's many languages. Come on, right? You ever go overseas like that and they speak a different language? There's many languages. And he said in every one of those languages, every one of those languages, they mean something. But he said, if I don't understand them, it doesn't mean anything to me. Now, that's a natural truth, okay? That's a natural truth that there's many different languages, that, you know, Spanish, whatever, French, whatever, English, whatever. But there's also a truth there that there's many voices fighting for your attention. There's many voices that are wanting your attention. And a lot of times those voices are to distract you from hearing His voice. It's like the wind was a distraction. The earthquake was a distraction. The fire was a distraction. And Elijah didn't get caught up in the distraction. He waited until there was a still, small voice. And then he stepped out. Now, that brings us back to those four points. How do we direct our soul inwardly? Again, one is the Word. Getting into the Word of God, reading the Word of God, opening up the Word and saying, Father, I want to focus on you. I want to hear from your Word. Holy Spirit, speak to me through the Word of God. Another is through prayer. Prayer is more than just thanking God for your meal. Prayer is communication to God. And prayer, I like it this way, prayer can be shallow. When I say that, I mean, it's like this. I mean, I can have a relationship with somebody and just say, hey, how you doing today? Hope you have a good day. That's kind of a shallow relationship, isn't it? Come on, right? I can do that with the person at Speedway here in a little bit. How's your day going? It's going good. How's your day going? It's going good. And bye, maybe never see him again. Okay? That's shallow. But the more time I spend in prayer, that relationship becomes deeper. When I just say, Father, I'm going to spend some time with you and just begin to pray and just seek his face and just begin to pray and just talk to him in fellowship. And then we said prayer, the word, prayer, worship. Worship's powerful. I love worship. I have a hard time keeping my eyes open during worship. You know why? Because when I close my eyes, it's like it cuts off all this out here. And then all of a sudden, it's automatically directed inwardly. I'm just fellowshipping with him. David was an incredible worshiper. It says that David was a man after his own what? God's own heart. And then the final thing is silence. Silence. It's interesting. My study in silence, I have found that by just research online that people that maybe we wouldn't even consider spiritual, that this is one of their foundational truths of being successful. Is that they practice a time of silence. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, that yoga or whatever. I'm talking about that they have a time sometime during their day where they just, everything's quiet so they can just have that time thinking. Now, it's because it's a spiritual truth. It's a spiritual truth. I shared this last Sunday. I'll share it one more time. We'll close. There's a scripture that talks about a seal being opened in the book of Revelations in heaven when we're there, that a seal is opened, and that when that seal is opened, that all heaven is silent for 30 minutes. No one speaks, just stands in his presence. John 10:27 says this, my sheep know my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. Number four, Jesus knows us, and we know his voice. I give you the same quote last week in closing, the quieter you become, the more you can hear. We're designed and created by God for a relationship, to be in his presence, and to hear his voice. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for this time together. And God, I thank you for your incredible blessing in each one of our lives. And God, we started this morning talking about desiring to know you more. To know you more. Father, I pray each and every one of us, Father God, desire to spend time in your presence and to hear your voice. Father, I thank you for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand up with me this morning? Father, we just thank you. I'm getting ready to dismiss. Don't forget to be praying for David. David's on the Emmaus walk. And I want to just pray a special blessing for each one of you this morning as we go. Father, I just thank you this morning as we go. Father God, I thank you that your favor and your blessings upon our life go with each and every one of us. And I thank you that your spirit leads with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an amazing day. Love each and every one of you. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Amen.